Happy Father's Day to all of our dads here. Make sure you spoil them, okay? I hope you have a great day. I think it's going to rain, though, but we'll see. You know me, right? I got a lot to tell you today. And you know me, I'm always trying to connect dots, or at least see if God is trying to tell us something through events that occur in our life and in the world. And so bear with me, because I'm going to do a little bit of review. I've done this a few times, but today is not only Father's Day, it's also the summer solstice. Actually, it's officially tomorrow, but for us in this part of the hemisphere, it's 10:32 tonight is when we hit the longest day of the year. Okay, now remember how we've pointed to the shortest day of the year, the winter solstice, December 21st. And on that day, we were given a celestial event, what people nicknamed the Christmas star. The last time that conversions of Saturn and Jupiter occurred like that and created that mighty star in the sky was almost 800 years ago, in 1226. So you go back to 1226 and you go, what happened the last time that that Christmas star occurred? Well, we saw that, first of all, St. Francis of Assisi passed to eternal life that year. And we also saw, and you can Google this, I think it's the only two things they count as substantial in that year, is that the practice of Eucharistic adoration moves out of the monasteries and into the parishes for the first time. And I like to put it this way, literally Eucharistic adoration went viral that year. So here we are, we get this again. So what is it pointing to? Well, let's back up just a little bit first. Remember, I've been pointing to that very depressing Pew Research study that came out August 5th, 2019, that said 70% now. 70%! 70%! Don't believe that's God on that altar. I mean, that's a crisis. It's a crisis. And there I was, I saw the report and I went, oh my goodness. And I think Bishop Barron did a video and he was disturbed by it. But instead, what they did is they got all ready for their Amazon Synod. Now, I feel like I don't think I'm berating all the bishops. I'm not. But I'm so tired of progressives, I can't stand it. Right? Birthing persons? I mean, come on. Let's change the flag. Why? And here's what they do. They do what I call opposite think. They want to be counted as an elite. And so if you riffraff believe a certain thing, according to them, then they'll take the opposite view because they're enlightened, because they have a higher knowledge than you do. See, it smells to high heaven, this progressive elitism. That's the major impulse for them wanting to do something that you're not doing, or believe something that you're not believing. Do you see what's going on here? And it was going on in the church. It started to smell leading up to the Amazon Synod. Now, I'm not knocking the whole Amazon Synod or anything. I'm knocking those who felt this was their time. This was their time to put in their goody list. Remember that, you know? Well, we can have women priests and anybody with mortal sin can come to communion and, you know, we can parade, at least optically, it was seen as parade a pagan idol in the epicenter of the church. Let's normalize that too. Because opposite think. Because you, riffraff, believe we shouldn't have pagan idols in our church. Well, we know better. See what I'm saying? It's just, ugh. It stinks. So, this was on the heels of this depressing and shocking report. 70%! Yeah, that's nice. But let's talk about pagan idols and everybody who can receive communion, even if they're a mortal sin. And it is no wonder that God said enough and shook us up. And what happened? What have we been praying for all this time? First of all, let's now look again at that Christmas star and those two events. We believe Eucharistic adoration was for on the heels of this report. We get this event that points to Eucharistic adoration. Well, what is Eucharistic adoration? Eucharistic adoration is meant to help us to come into that, and we've been talking about this too, the first gift, the doorway gift, the entryway to all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to the power of God, is the gift of wonder and reverence. Again, we can't just be punching a clock with our faith and going through the motions and fulfilling obligations. We got to get intimate with our Lord, awestruck by our Lord, because then that has beautiful and wonderful consequences that follow from that. Because see, now that I see you as amazing and wonderful and awesome, and I have to show you due reverence, if that's happening in my life, well, then I have to put you first. I have to think about you constantly. I have to fear, and here's what that gift is. Fear the Lord. I have to fear of ever offending you, Daddy. Remember, we've been talking about that, and let's talk about this on Father's Day. He wants to be intimate with us. Abba, Daddy, Father. I can't dream of offending you. See, you're in that kind of relationship. It's the most healthy parent-child relationship possible, where the father is doing everything for the child, and the child just loves and is awestruck and reveres dad and wants dad to be proud of them. See what I mean? That's why it's the first and most necessary and the gateway to all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because once you get to that place, then you're just open. Bring it all. It's no wonder God was pointing to this after our little shocking report followed by the goody list Amazon Synod, not of all, of the progressive bishops. And then to find out, some reports say that this virus leaked from the lab on October 6th, on the first day of the Amazon Synod. And then we find out that Our Lady of Akita, Sister Agnes Sisigawa, receives a message, first time since 1973, Roe v. Wade year, when Our Lady of Akita gave her message, which was what? Bishop against bishop, cardinal against cardinal will happen. Wow. Now she says only this: put on ashes, pray a repentant rosary. That was it. On the day the virus leaked from the lab, on the day the progressive bishops were trying to rifle in all their goody list, the abomination of God. You can't make this stuff up. And so God shows us. He gives us, he points to it. Adore the Lord. Revere the Lord. Revere the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist. This is the treatment for what ails us. Then I want to point to St. Francis of Assisi. Do you know what he said about the Holy Eucharist? Man should tremble. The world should quake. All heaven should be deeply moved when the Son of God appears on the altar in the hands of the priest. Okay, I think he pointed to, God pointed to St. Francis to kind of emphasize what he's trying to get to us. But I think it's even more than that. Look at my wrist. I plan on wearing that from now on. I used to wear it all the time and now just forgot to put it on. These are the Counsels of Perfection. This is what you see on a monk's robe, the three knots. You want to know how we, and here's the word that all of this points to. You want to know how we get unified? Unified, unified. That's what this is all about. Well connected. Unity. That's what God wants more than anything else. And he has a way of doing that. Eucharistic adoration. All right? The three knots. Poverty. That doesn't mean you have to go and give all your stuff away. God might call a person to do that, maybe. But it just means you can't let that stuff rule your life. Or you can't let your own desire to be esteemed and all this stuff rule your life. Poverty means selflessness. You all come first, ahead of me. It's a poverty of spirit. And again, it means you're not so attached to your stuff that you can't use it to help other people when God calls you to do so. That's part of it. But it's a poverty of spirit. I don't matter, you do. That's what it means. Chastity is the second knot. You know, the devil is always looking for a way in. The poverty, you can talk about pride. Chastity, you can talk about being unchaste. Right now, with cell phones and everything, the devil's just finding, just coming in as easy as pie into people's lives with everything they find on that phone, and we won't get graphic here, all right? And we have to understand, it's a literal drug. It's shooting chemicals through our system. We got to make sure that we get free from that addiction. It's a powerful way that the devil's finding entrance, not only into ourselves, but into our homes. We've got to stop that. That's the second, chastity. We are chaste. We are devoted to one. You know, to me, to the church, to spouses, to your spouse, to those who are single, to your future spouse, right? The last one is obedience. You know, again, it gets back to, I fear ever offending you, Lord. Of course I'll follow everything that you ask me to do. Of course I got no problems with the church teachings or anything that comes from the Bible. I am meek. I'm easily led. Lead me, because I'm not standing off all pompous, forming my own church over here, coming up with my own stuff. Of course I obey you. See, Francis of Assisi is pointing to that as well. But he's also pointing to a prayer life that I want to work on myself, and I want to help us all work on together. I call it being monk strong. Why not pray like the mightiest prayers known on the planet Earth? Monks. Francis of Assisi. They like to call themselves friars instead of monks. I get that. But you're all wearing the brown robe with the right rope around your waist. You're a monk to me. But why not pray like that? And how do they pray? Constantly. In other words, they're well connected to God. They're in relationship with Him all day. St. Benedict said, prayer should be therefore short and pure, unless perhaps it is prolonged under the inspiration of divine grace. What is he getting at there? Sometimes we, again, punch the clock. We get to do our dutiful prayer, and we make our relationship like a boss and an employee. It's not. He's our daddy. We're his precious child. Talk to him all day long. That's what this means. Little prayers. I love you. Help me out here. What do you think? Speak to me, Lord. Your servant is listening. One of the prayers that I want to advocate, I'm going to work hard on this. I'll probably make little holy cards or get by it. But St. Francis of Assisi, Sissippi prayer. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own, you have given to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. When we reach that point where all we need is Daddy's love and the power of his grace, it's all we want. We've reached a place of divine connection. You see, I believe that's what God has been pointing us to. Now look, and I'm going to close with this. Just days before this summer solstice, remember the winter solstice, December 21st, today is the summer solstice, just day, what happened? The shepherds got together, and you know what they said? We're going to do, I think they called it a three-year campaign for Eucharistic revival. Praise God. All these tyrants, these progressive, elitist, snobby tyrants that have been coming in, taking away our liberty, taking away our loved ones from the arms of God. We could have sat there and went, we're going to die. Where are you, Lord? He's asleep in the stern. Why are you sleeping? Get up. We need you. That prayer is okay. But Jesus questioned them. You thought you were going to die? I'm right here. We're not going to die. The snobby, elitist, tyrant progressives are not going to win. Look what's happening. We pray. We're praying. And they're going to have a Eucharistic revival. Oh, I pray, God, that the essence of that is to offer this holy sacrifice, the Mass, in a way that leads people to say, my Lord and my God. Wonder and reverence. In other words, the Eucharist has always been and will always be the way in which we open up our lives and receive the full measure of the Holy Spirit, because it starts here with the first gift of the Holy Spirit, wonder and reverence, fear of ever offending the Lord, wanting to please Daddy in every way that we can. That's what this Eucharistic revival needs to be, and I believe it's what it's going to be. And you know what? They're moving toward these things. And we're moving toward the evangelization. Here, I'm going to close with this. It's my birthday this Thursday, in case I didn't tell you. No, I'm joking, because I think I told you about 50 times already. But you all have to come Thursday. And I'm going to entice you a little bit. I've been joking, bring expensive gifts. But instead, no, and it is a joke. Instead, I'm bringing you a gift. And here it is. I packaged it up, or I had Beth Patak help me package this up. Nice for you. What is it? Well, here it is, piece by piece. One of my first books I ever wrote was called Fortis and Fide, Church Militant Prayer Book. It's evolved, and now U.S. Grace Force, but we have a lot of these, and I want to give one to you, okay? So that's a prayer, and on page 50 is the Susippi prayer. Please, I'm going to pray it every day. I ask you to do it too, all right? But that's one gift. Then, I want us to be rooted in the Word, because we've taught this, but I don't know if you all are experiencing it. I have for several, many years, my priesthood, that when you start reading the Word of God, all of a sudden it's like you dialed up heaven, and the line of communications open up. And you start hearing, you know, in your spirit, God trying to tell you something. Whereas before, when we're disconnected and in our worldly stuff, it's not as easy. It can happen. But once we start reading the Word of God, it's all, and he might talk to us about what he wants us to know about this particular scripture passage, but he might tell us about a mission he wants us to be on or whatever else. And interestingly enough, so we're ordering these, and the first 100 people get what I'm showing you here. But this is July and August, so we'll be ordering these. It'll be September and October and so on and so forth. We're going to order 100 each time. This is amazing. It has the daily readings, but it also has beautiful, powerful reflections in there about the readings and other things. But by God's coincidence, they're focusing on who? St. Ignatius of Loyola and the words, "Take, Lord, receive," the Shushippi prayer. Amazing. So when you get God speaking to you, you do got to do what I do. Hold on, I'll start doing this formal prayer, what I'm doing. I'm just going to sit this and hold it, because I'm going to write this down. So I bought y'all a journal. It's really cool. It's black leather. It's got this cool thing here. And you write in what God's trying to tell you in there. So the first 100 people get this when they come Thursday night. Pretty cool, huh? Because what are we working on? Wonder and reverence. We set aside May 13th to October 7th to get together, unity, together, family, unity with Christ in adoration as he directed December 21st. Yes, Lord, we said. So we're working on that. We're making it super beautiful. So maybe people who haven't experienced adoration before are opened up to it and fall in love with it. And then together, we're going out and getting near to each other for a super social in Gracie's Cafe. This particular Thursday, my birthday, we're going to have the grill, the brats, the burgers, you know, bring stuff if you want. But it's going to be awesome and a great celebration. This is not only my birthday, the 63rd birthday, but it's the 40th anniversary of my one-day call to priesthood, which I've discovered is also the same day that Our Lady started appearing in Medjugorje. I got a one-day call to the priesthood, June 24th, 1981. And so this is the 40th anniversary of that. So please, please, please. So my brothers and sisters, Eucharistic adoration moved out of the monasteries into the parishes. St. Francis of Assisi was born to eternal life. The last time God gave a sign like he did this past year, when it seemed it was the darkest time in the history of humanity. It was one of the most challenging and darkest times in maybe the history of our country. But it's always darkest before the dawn. And here we are. This is the summer solstice. God is working. Maintain hope. Don't believe you're going to die. Why? You don't have faith, Jesus said when they woke him up. You're not going to die. I'm right here in the stern of the boat. But let's wake our Lord up and say, Lord, please, let's push out this darkness and bring the light of your love and your truth and your grace, because these are enough for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.